Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Spoiler alert, we're going to look at half of this text next week because last night I looked at my sermon and I looked at the clock and we were already an hour and 10 minutes in and I wasn't even halfway through the sermon, so I said, uh-oh. And I remembered last night and I shared with them what somebody taught me in seminary, that the butt cannot handle, no, I got that wrong. The mind cannot handle more than the butt can stand, right? And so we're going to shorten down all these things that I thought I was going to say today, and we're going to actually take today's text, which we looked at last week, and we're going to make it a three-week text. Somebody say, wow. Now, if you look up some of the old-time great preachers like John Calvin or John Wesley or Charles Spurgeon, these dudes would take one sentence from the Bible and they would preach from one sentence from the Bible for months on end. So lest we think we're bad because we can take 3 weeks with one text, we better not get too big for our britches. We're just doing 3 weeks, one text. Last week, we looked at John 15, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, and we looked at one word. Well, we looked at the text. We looked at the text from this angle, and we looked at one word. Does anybody remember what the word is that we looked at last week? Remain. Somebody say remain. And we really just told stories of what it meant to remain so that we had a clear understanding of what it meant to remain in the presence of the King of Kings. Because everything else that comes from the text, now that we're looking at it from this angle, is contingent upon and rooted in the one word remain. So if you're confused what it means to remain, just go to our website, go to our Facebook page. Don't forget the Facebook stock mark. Go to our Facebook page and you can find last week's sermon on remain, and you'll hear some stories that will help you understand what it is to remain. You might also hear a story on the opposite of what remain is. Do you guys remember that? Was anybody not here last week? We might have talked about butt crack and airplanes, and that would have been helpful in you understanding what not remaining is. Let's get back to the text. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus says. Jesus says. Turn to your neighbor, so when he speaks, you better listen. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Somebody say fruit. Fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm going to repeat that. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's fruit that's going to take place. Let me say this about this text. All life comes through Jesus. There is no life apart from Jesus. There's pseudo-life, quasi-life, short-term kind of life, but there is no life apart from Jesus. All things flow through the vine into the branches that bear fruit. Let's clarify. Who is the vine? Jesus. Who are the branches? If you're a follower of Jesus, that's you. And who gets to benefit from the fruit that comes from the vine through the branches? The answer is the world, the people who don't yet know Jesus, and us as the branches. Did you know that all life flows through Jesus, through us, into the world? Here's the deal. We've said this forever. You probably get sick of it. If you get sick of it, I am so not sorry. If you have a pulse. Now, let's just remind us why we say that. We say if you got a pulse, you got issues, is because the church over the years has, for some reason, thought that this is a place where we got to pretend like we have our act together, right? I remember growing up as a kid, my mom and dad would be like arguing and fighting. My brother and I would be fighting. Nothing was good on the drive to church, but you get to church and, you know, you'd get the word from dad, turn around, now pretend and act like everything's good because we don't want anybody to know, right? And you had to go into church and you had to act like you aren't, right? Yeah. And isn't it exhausting acting like you aren't? Isn't it tiring, woo, to pretend like you got it all together when you don't have it all together? And so many people actually leave church more tired than when they go in because they go in faking and pretending and posing. And I said, no, we need to have a place where everybody can admit you got issues and you can go and just say, you know what, I got issues. This is who I am. This is the way it is. That's part of the reason we say, if you got a pulse. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about fruitfulness and the life of Jesus flowing through us to others. Today we're talking about that other thing we talk about, but we have to mention the issues first, because if we don't mention the issues and we don't work on the issues, if we don't work on our issues work on us. Is that true? But if we admit them and we acknowledge them and we own them, guess what? We can get up, we can move on, and with the help of God's people and God himself, we can walk out of our issues, and we can then stand tall and say, I also have a pulse, therefore I also have a purpose. Jesus didn't come to planet Earth and say nice things like this metaphorically. I'm the vine, you're the branches, and you're called to bear fruit so that we could just bear nothing. He came to give us a purpose. You have been given a purpose by the King of Kings. It's about you having purposeful living right here on planet Earth. In this text, we find that everyone who calls on the name of Jesus has been given a task to achieve for the sake of the good of others. The fruit is the blessing that we get to share with others. How many of you have ever annoyed anybody? Raise your hand high. Oh, man. And how many of you, some of you are going to raise your hand, because some of the times, how many of you like annoying other people? I kind of do sometimes, right? But I'm not talking about the fun, you're being a pest on purpose. I'm talking about the people who are annoyed by you, not because you're trying to annoy them, but just because you're who you are and they can't stand you and you're annoying. I mean, that's not a fun feeling, is it? See, with Jesus, he doesn't call us to be annoying. He calls us to be a blessing. Amen. And the way we bless people is to bear fruit that is in line with the teachings of his scripture. Now, I'm thinking right now, as you are, and I'm wondering if you're going to do what they did last night. I'm thinking of Abraham. Are you guys thinking of Abraham? Who? Father Abraham? What about Father Abraham? Here we are. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord forever. How many of you have no idea what's going on right now? I feel like every time I mention Abraham, we got to go there. It's an old song we used to sing when we were children, you know, Father Abraham. I'm not thinking of that song. I am thinking of Father Abraham when God said this to him. And in saying this to Abraham through the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God to Abraham is echoing through the centuries and saying something to every one of us. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. God says to him and thus us, I'm going to bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. See, God is in the business of blessing us so that we get to be a blessing. And I'm telling you, it's so much better to be a blessing to someone than to be an annoyance to someone. And I'm telling you, the key is to walk out the blessings God has given to you through you. Now, let me remind you of last week we looked at the text this way, and that one word we talked about was the blessings that God has given to us that we're supposed to share with others comes from remaining in close proximity to Jesus. You know, the blessings that we're to be, the things that God has called us to do, the fruit that we're called to bear, it's not about doing religious churchy things, right? Doing religious churchy things minus a connection to Jesus is drudgery, tiring, going to get you burnt out before you know it, and church will become nothing but a laborious task you got to endure. But if you walk closely with Jesus in his time, he will bear fruit through you for somebody else. I want you all to be on your toes, because somebody was got with this last night. So be on your toes. Who's feeling smart today? Anybody feeling smart? Oh, Gavin, you feel smart? All right. If I plant grapevines, what type of fruit do I expect? Grapes! He is feeling smart. Congratulations. No encouragement. Yep. If I plant an apple tree, what type of fruit do I expect? Apples, yeah! And if I plant a raisin tree, what do I get? I got you. Thank you. You understand that, right? If you plant an apple tree, you get an apple. What do you get if you plant a Christian tree? Christian fruit, right? But do you? Hold that thought. Do you? Maybe we should identify what Christian fruit is. If we are Christians and we're planted and we're called to bear fruit, what is the fruit that we're supposed to bear? I'll tell you what, we got some. Somebody say corn. Galatians chapter 5 tells us what Christian fruit is. When a Christian is planted and the vine's life flows into those branches, this is the fruit that the Christian bears. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody say love. That's what we're supposed to bear. That's the fruit. That's what it looks like. Joy. Somebody say joy. Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
And self-control.
Self-control.
If you plant a Christian, the fruit that the Christian bears is that. Here's the deal. Every single one of you have been called as God's children to bear such fruit. It's a little tricky. It's going to look different for each of you, but it will feel the same. I mean, joy, whether it's joy over your team winning or joy over your opponent losing, is joy. Peace, whether it's peace because of this or peace because of that, it might look different, but it feels the same. The fruit we are called to bear is accompanied by positive vibes that are given off to others who encounter them. It's going to look different because a student, are there any students in the house? Yeah. Students are going to bear that fruit different than maybe a stay-at-home mom. Any stay-at-home moms in the house? And the fruit and the vibe that a stay-at-home mom gives, it's going to be different than a contractor. Are there any contractors in the house? You see, we're called to bear fruit where we are at and how we are, and it's going to feel the same, but it's going to look different. And so what we have over here on this wall, busting out the old laser pointer, it's been a while. The river exists so that anybody can belong. Say belong.
Belong.
It doesn't matter if you have your act together. Quite frankly, none of us totally do anyway. Well, we want people to belong so they can hear about Jesus and believe in him, right? And say that Jesus is who he said he was. That's what we want from belong to believe. But it doesn't stop there. It moves over to this one right there. What does that say, somebody?
Become.
Yeah. And right there in that one word become, we see the truths of this scripture right here, that we've been called to bear fruit. We're called to bear fruit as we become all God intended us to be. Now, I know I've said this, but I also know we all forget such things. When we come to Jesus and we grow as his disciples, he doesn't call us to be something we're not. We don't have to be like that guy or that girl. We don't have to, you know, be over there or over there. We just have to be who we are, where we are, more freely than we've ever been. God doesn't want to change you. He doesn't want to change your interests, your personality. He just wants you to set free from the junk that's attached itself to those things so that you can be freely who you already are. And you get to be you while you bear fruit and bless planet Earth. And I'm telling you, it's more fun to be a blessing than to be an annoyance. Do you hear me? Yeah. I'm wondering if you're ready for this part. Ask your neighbor if they're ready. You know, don't ask your neighbor. Ask yourself. Say, self, are you ready? I'm wondering if you're up for and you're courageous enough to look in the mirror and examine yourself with the following question. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I'm wondering if you're bearing any fruit. And I wonder if you have the courage enough to actually honestly ask yourself, am I bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? You know, I think there are really only two ways to answer this. Maybe isn't really the right answer. I mean, if you're not sure, it's you, it's not the right answer. Because maybe it could actually be a yes or a no. I think the only two answers that you have to choose from is, are you bearing fruit? Yes, I am. And if that's the answer you choose, I want you to hear that the Lord is pleased and proud, and he's saying, you're doing it. You're becoming all you intended to be. You are bearing fruit on planet Earth. You are a blessing to the people around you. Way to go. I think the Lord is pleased with you if you're bearing fruit. So way to bear fruit, people. Woo!
Woo!
So I want everybody to give a little cheer for all those who can say, yes, I am bearing fruit. This is for you, everybody. Way to go. Fantastic. Somebody say, uh-oh. But there's only one other answer to choose from if you're courageous enough to look in the mirror, and that is, no, I am not bearing fruit. No, I am not bearing fruit. Here's the deal. That's a hard thing to do, to actually look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm not bearing fruit. You know what we'd rather do? We'd rather look at that person and say, no, they aren't bearing fruit. It's so much easier to look at others' faults than to see our own, right? I mean, Jesus talked about, you know, why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother or sister's eye? Meanwhile, you got a log in your own eye. You know what I'm saying? So yesterday, we were in Battle Creek at a volleyball tournament for the freshmen, which took down the championship of it all. Way to go, Reese. Woo! I think it was a 17-hour tournament, right? We were there like an entire day. It was very long, and it was delightful and fun, and Christian and fun. But you know, I noticed something about all these parents. A, they love their kids. Can I just keep it real with you as long as you keep it in here? Because I'm certainly not talking about any of the Lloyd Norrick's parents. I'm talking about other teams' parents, right? These parents were incredibly critical of what was going on the court. They were so mad that their daughter wasn't able to jump as high as they thought they should. If she would just jump higher. Meanwhile, I'm thinking to myself, again, this is between us, that woman who's critiquing her daughter because she can't jump, she couldn't even jump over the evening newspaper, let alone play volleyball. And this guy over here was so mad because his daughter, who's just out there sweating for hours on end, had a couple serving errors and was just so distraught. That dude couldn't even bend over to pick up the volleyball, let alone try to serve it. And it dawns on me that questions like, are you bearing fruit, aren't as fun or as easy to answer as, are they bearing fruit? It's better for our gut. I can answer, is that person bearing fruit? No. So much harder to look at the self and say, am I bearing fruit? And it's remarkable to me, not only were some of these kids being, you know, criticized by parents in the stands, there's another group of people that day who were getting criticized. Any guesses who that might be? The officials, the refs. It was remarkable to me. We're over here on this side, on the far back corner over there, where there's a ref 3 inches away from the line. He calls the ball out. So amazing. I'm like 100 yards away. There's a guy 30 yards behind me who had a better view 30 yards behind me than the ref who was 3 inches away. Remarkable. And he's up there critiquing that ref. You suck, you're screwing us over. And he was so easy to critique that ref who was doing his job right. He couldn't even realize that he was being a knucklehead, maybe ruining the experience for those around him and maybe his daughter. So easy to answer the question, are they bearing fruit? So let's do what's easy. Let me type up a different question. I'm going to delete, are you bearing fruit? Backspace. And let's just go with the easy one. Is that person over there bearing fruit? Do you like that question better? I'm not going to do that. I really didn't type. I was just kidding. Are you bearing fruit? And if the answer is yes, you've heard me say that it's okay to receive some affirmation and to feel good about that and to know that it feels good to be a blessing. But if the answer is no, maybe there's one of two reasons why the answer is no. And if the first reason to know is because you're broken and you're wounded, I want you to hear this. You're off the hook. Repeat after me. You know, the Bible says, a bruised reed he will not break. Jesus, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. See, sometimes life is so difficult. Sometimes emotions are so rough. Sometimes the mind just gets you, the body breaks down, the relationships are strong, that we aren't in a place where we can bear fruit. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord says, it's okay, son, it's okay, daughter, just sit in my presence and get healing. So maybe you're not bearing fruit because you're broken and you just need healing. If that's the case for you, man, I pray the kingdom of God upon you, that you would find the healing you need. It's okay not to bear fruit if you're broken. However, if you've been a follower of Christ for a while, And you answered that question, no. And life's pretty good and you're not broken. I'm going to ask this question in the kindest, brotherly, lovingest kind of way. What the heck's the matter? Why y'all collecting dust? Why are you choosing to withhold the blessings God wants you to deliver to planet Earth and keeping them to yourself? Do you think Christianity is about you just learning more? Do you think following Jesus is just about you doing a Sunday morning service and then going about the rest of your week? Are you misinformed that God has called you to bear fruit for the sake of the world and for your own benefit because it feels good to bear fruit? Are you missing something up here? I'm going to assume you're not malicious. Is that nice of me? Maybe you're just misinformed. Misinformed is a nice word for something else. Any guesses what that word might be? Stupid. I'm going to assume you're not stupid. And I'm going to assume you're not malicious. Do I assume then you're lazy? I mean, why are you not bearing fruit? I'm saying this in the kindest coaching is kind of way. There's a difference between coaching and criticism. Right? Parents in the stands, guys yelling at the ref, that's criticism. That's unfounded. But the coach on the sideline who says, hey, man, you should do this instead of this, and we'd be better off, and the world would be better, and we'd play better. Coaching is good and needed. Everybody in the room needs coaching. No one is above and beyond coaching. So maybe you need some coaching today that says, come on, get off the bench and get into the game. You know, on Reese's team, there's this one woman, a young woman who, she's the manager. And man, I love her for doing that. There ain't no way I'd want to do that. She goes to practice every day. She practices as hard as the rest of the team. Yet when it comes to game time, you know what she does? She sits on the sidelines. And I'm like, that poor girl, that stinks to sit on the, we're not made to sit on the sidelines. We're made to play the game. And yet I heard yesterday, due to some circumstances, she got to play in one of the games in the morning. I heard this because we were told the tournament started at 9. It actually started at 8:30. But this girl who usually only sits on the sideline got into the game, and guess who was happy, maybe happier than she's been all year? There's something about getting off the bench and getting into the game that is joyful and awesome. And yet so many of us as followers of Jesus, we bench ourselves and say, I'd rather play the role of manager and just sit here and keep stats of people who are doing, missed serve, positive serve. We're not called to be managers in the game of faith. We're called to be in between the lines playing the game. It's so much more fun to play the game than to sit on the bench. So again, if you said, no, I'm not bearing fruit, I commend you for being honest with yourself. Way to go. It begins there. It begins with honest introspection. Way to go and be honest with yourself. And if you're not bearing fruit and you're not broken, come on, get up and get in the game. Get up and get in the game. Now, if you're new here, that's our buddy Billy. He has autism. We love that. Don't be alarmed. That's his way of modeling to you how you respond to a sermon right there. I can always tell who the new people are because when Billy starts agreeing with me in his special way, people are like, does he know that there's somebody in the back making noise? Yeah, and we're good with that. Yes. Anybody belongs, especially Billy. Y'all got that? Amen. All right. Back to John 15. I got to hurry up because I didn't even, oof. If you don't remain in me, you're like, oh, boy, here's another one. Somebody say, uh-oh. I asked Brad last night, Brad's our pastor of community and discipleship, if there's ever those texts that you get to and you're like, uh-oh, and he said, yeah, this is one of them. I don't like it. It's a tough text that is about to come because it's a hard word. It's a difficult word. And let's be clear. Well, let me read the text first. If you do not remain in me, somebody say, uh-oh. You're like a branch that's thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. That's not nice. I mean, if we're really being honest with ourselves, the religion known as universalism feels a little easier, doesn't it, to communicate? It doesn't matter what you believe. Just believe it nicely and sincerely and be a good person, and then everybody gets to glory. This is a little bit more difficult, because Jesus says if you're not walking with him, if you don't remain with him, you're going to be picked up and you're going to be thrown in the fire. That doesn't sound nice. Does that sound nice? So remember that the key to this entire text is the word we looked at last week, which is just to remain. So Jesus isn't saying the way to avoid the fire of judgment at the end of it. It's not about doing churchy things. It's simply about being in relationship with Jesus. There's the key. It's not for a select group of people. It's not for bald men only. It's not for churchgoers only. It's not for Americans only. It's for anybody who ever has drawn breath and has said yes to Jesus. That is where the freedom and the life comes from, because life only comes from Jesus, but it's offered to all.
Amen.
We've used this analogy many times, right? How many of you remember me asking about that ugly shirt? Does anybody in this room see somebody with a really ugly shirt on right now? Anybody? Raise your hand. I see a couple. Do you guys need an example of what an ugly shirt is? Because I'll ask them to stand. See, sometimes we have fashion that is so horrendous, people note it. I get that that's shallow, but stay with me for the analogy here. Sometimes when people have fashion that's so awful and they don't know it, it takes a loving friend to come around and say, "Hey, I love you, but that's an ugly shirt." Sometimes we need help with our fashion, right? I mean, if you've ever had kids, like when kids hit between 6th and 7th grade, they themselves realize, oh my gosh, I've been dressing ugly. Like, all of our kids are now very fashionable, and they came up on their own. But there was like in 2nd grade, you know, they're just mixing colors that, boy, shouldn't have been mixed, and outfits and styles and plaids and stripes and everything, and they didn't care. But there came a place where they realized, hey, fashion, you need to kind of coordinate some things. Sometimes we need help with fashion. Here's what I've been saying all along. Sin is like an ugly shirt that we're unaware how ugly it is. And the sin shirt that we have on, it separates us from others, it impacts the room, and it just keeps us away from God. And what Jesus is he's that kind friend, the loving fashionista. Have you ever thought of Jesus as a fashionista? Who comes in and says, hey man, I love you, but that shirt is ugly. You don't need that shirt. So Jesus takes off the sin shirt, because the sin shirt deserves to be judged. Let's just be clear. But we don't need to be judged, even though we're wearing it. So what Jesus does is he takes the judgment and the sin shirt that accompanies the judgment, and he takes it over here, and he takes care of it himself, and he gives us a fresh bit of robing so that there's no judgment upon us. The judgment on sin goes on the sin shirt, but we no longer wear the sin shirt, so we're walking free and free of judgment. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
That's really good news, actually. I want you to talk about Jesus as fashionista this week. Tell somebody Jesus is my favorite fashionista. Okay, go ahead and do that. And so what happens is we know that this is what the Bible says, that God desires none to perish but for all to be saved. That's 2 Peter 3:9. And then the same thing in another place, 1 Timothy chapter 2. God our Savior wants all people to be saved. The heart of the Father isn't to put anybody in that fire, but people who've been stuck in the sin shirt need somebody to point to Jesus so that Jesus can take that. So they can say, Jesus, take my sin shirt. You know, here's what I'm thinking. How many of y'all like shoes as much as I do? How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's Isaiah 52. And not to be outdone, the Apostle Paul quotes that. He goes, how then can those people call on the one they haven't believed in? He's saying, how can people call to Jesus and say, take off my sin shirt if they haven't heard of Jesus? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? The implied answer is they can't. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? The answer is they can't. And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, the Apostle Paul quotes, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Jesus wants you to be a lover of shoes too, in the sense that sharing the good news of Jesus makes your feet beautiful. Consider this. If you're listening to my voice and you're a follower of Jesus, raise your hand. Oh, yep, you have been sent by the King of Kings. You have been sent by the King of Kings. Apart from Jesus, there is separation for eternity, but the good news is people who don't yet know Jesus have you in their lives. They have you in their lives so that you can point to the great fashionista who wants to remove the sin shirt, and you get to bring your beautiful feet and say, hey, I want to tell you about this one who's taken away my sin. You're the ones who keep the ickiness of this text becoming an icky reality for the people that you know. You are the ones God wants to use to expand his grace, his mercy, and his love. Amen. You are. No one else. Well, okay, everyone else, but for the moment, you are. Amen. Not the guy next to you. Well, okay, the guy next to you too, but you are the one that God wants to use to expand his love on planet Earth. And it's at this point when I realized last night I was in deep trouble, so I made a shift on the fly, and I said, I'm going to preach the rest of this next week. So,
thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.